here on VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Dan Novak and Katie Weaver tell us about a Vietnamese-American community in Northern Virginia. Jill Robbins answers a new question from a listener in this week's Ask a Teacher. We close with an American story. But first, here are Dan and Katie.
A bright red, green, and yellow arch rises over the entrance to the Eden Center Marketplace. Lion statues sit to the right and left, as if on guard. Smells of sweet and spicy food flow out of the restaurants, filling the air. Almost everyone at the market is speaking in Vietnamese. Vietnamese street signs also hang around the market. And a South Vietnamese flag, yellow with three red stripes, flies overhead. But this marketplace is not found in Vietnam. Eden Center's home is Falls Church, Virginia, a small city just outside Washington, D.C. About 80,000 Vietnamese immigrants and Vietnamese Americans live in the national capital area. It is the fifth largest population of ethnic Vietnamese in America, and the Eden Center is widely considered to be the heart of that community. Eden Center has more than 120 businesses, most of them owned and operated by ethnic Vietnamese. Many are family businesses. There are restaurants, coffee and tea shops, and food stores. Vietnamese-run travel agencies, hair cutters, accounting agencies, and other businesses also can be found there. You can come over here and eat every kind of Vietnamese food from all over the country, said Vinh Tran. His wife and other family members have worked at Phuc Loc, a bakery and deli, since 1994. In 2013, Tran became its owner.
Chợ Eden is a food store or grocery in the market. Its owner, Kevin Tran, arrived in Virginia in 1980. He was part of a large migration of Vietnamese refugees to America. They fled the country after years of civil war ended with the capture of the capital city, then called Saigon. Northern Vietnamese forces had defeated an opposing force from the south that was backed by the American military. The Vietnamese embassy says up to 2 million civilians from the north and south died during the war. Most of the refugees were from South Vietnam. Many of them left behind all their possessions. They fled across dangerous seas on small, overcrowded boats. Over time, the refugees became known as the boat people. Kevin and his family stayed with a relative in Falls Church when they first got to the U.S. It was just across the street from where the Eden Center would open a few years later. Kevin's relative was able to immigrate to the U.S. because he was a member of the South Vietnamese Navy. Military connections were common for the first Vietnamese who settled in Washington, said Kim O'Connell. She is a Vietnamese-American writer who has researched the history of Vietnamese in Northern Virginia and the Washington area.
Families of higher-ranking, you know, Vietnamese officials and better-connected Vietnamese were the first people out. And so that's why Washington, D.C. ended up being such a hub for so many, because of military connections.
In just 5 years, from 1975 to 1980, more than 235,000 Vietnamese immigrated to the U.S., O'Connell said. Later arriving refugees were generally poorer and less educated than the early boat people. In the Washington area, the immigrants soon sought to open their own stores, restaurants, and other businesses. At that time, there were many empty retail spaces in Arlington, Virginia. The rent or payments for use of such space were low. Many Vietnamese businesses opened in the area named Clarendon. People started calling the neighborhood Little Saigon. By the early 1980s, however, Little Saigon became a building site for the Washington Area Subway, or underground train. The new system expanded transportation service and made Clarendon a more desirable place to live. Rents greatly increased as a result, forcing Vietnamese businesses to close. Several Vietnamese investors decided to team up to buy a failing marketplace just a few miles west of Little Saigon. It grew into the Eden Center of today. The name comes from the Eden Arcade, a popular marketplace in 1960s Saigon. Cha Eden owner Kevin Tran says the Falls Church Center brings back remembrances of life in Vietnam for many visitors, especially because of the food it sells.
Food, especially the food. You're not going to find any mall in the Northeast where you're going to have a bunch of restaurants and these specific food items that you're not going to find it in along this Northeast here.
Eden Center plays a big part in keeping the culture together, Tran added. It holds traditional Vietnamese festivals and other cultural events throughout the year. Researcher O'Connell, who was born and raised in the U.S., agrees. She says visiting Eden Center makes her feel more connected with her mother and Vietnamese ancestry.
I just treasure the fact that I can kind of see her experience her heritage with my own eyes and experience that with her. So it's always been really special to me.
Although a large majority of businesses in Eden Center are Vietnamese, Korean, Thai, and Chinese businesses have moved in more recently. Eden Center businessman Guang Lei thinks that trend is going to continue. The owner of Hung Bing Bakery and Deli, Lei says young Vietnamese in the area are generally better educated than their parents were. They do not seek the hard jobs their parents had to take in America, he told a local public radio station. Kevin Tran, the grocery store owner, has two children attending graduate school.
The kids here, when they go to school or they get a degree, there's a lot more opportunity for them than doing this.
Lei said Vietnamese are like other immigrant communities in the U.S. They came to the U.S., worked very hard, created these centers, and then as their children become more successful, they move away from these centers and eventually it fades away. Eden Center shows no sign of fading yet, however. Every store in the shopping center is open except one. And business is close to the level it was before COVID-19, said Alan Frank. He is general counsel and senior vice president of Eden Center owner, Capital Commercial Properties. Frank said the marketplace will remain Vietnamese for years to come. Kim O'Connell is similarly unconcerned about the changing face of Eden Center. Change is how Little Saigon became Eden Center, she noted.
I think it will be an important place for a long time to come. I'm really not that worried about changes that are happening. You know, it's kind of life, it's the way it goes.
I'm Dan Novak.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
Hello, welcome to Ask a Teacher. This week we answer a question from Zafer in Turkey. Would you please explain the difference between pill, drug, and medicine? Thanks in advance. Dear Zafer, thank you for writing to us. These three words are most often used when we talk about health. Let us begin with the word medicine. One meaning is a substance or drug used to treat disease or pain. But it is also a general term that describes the science or study of treating or curing disease. Here is an example of that use.
Alex went to the university to study medicine.
Medication is another word you can use for medicine. They mean the same thing.
An antiviral drug is the only government-approved medication for COVID-19.
Both words are countable and non-countable nouns. A pill is a small rounded object that contains medicine. It is swallowed. Pill is a less general term than drug, medicine, or medication. We can use it this way to talk about both vitamins and medications.
Grandpa takes a lot of pills in the morning to stay healthy.
Finally, we look at the word drug. A drug can be a substance in medicine. But drugs are also made, sold, and bought for recreational use. Alcohol and marijuana are examples. Some drugs and medicines require a doctor's approval for use. Those are called prescription drugs. I hope this helps you to understand how to use these words, Zafer. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Jill Robbins.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Our story today is called Atenaeus. It was written by Kate Chopin. Here is Barbara Klein with the story.
Atenaeus went away one morning to visit her parents, 10 miles back on the Bon Dieu River in Louisiana. She did not return in the evening, and Cazot, her husband, was worried. Cazot expressed his worries to his servant, Félicité, who served him dinner. He ate alone by the light of a coal oil lamp. Félicité stood nearby like a restless shadow. "Only married 2 months and she has her head turned already to leave? It is not right," she said. Cazot shrugged his shoulders. Félicité's opinion of his wife's behavior after 2 months of marriage did not matter to him. He was used to being alone and did not mind a night or two of it. Cazot stood up and walked outside. The night was beginning to deepen and gather black around the groups of trees in the yard. Far away, he could hear the sound of someone playing an accordion. Nearby, a baby was crying. Cazot's horse was waiting, saddled. He still had much farm work to do before bedtime. He did not have time to think about Atenaeus, but he felt her absence like a deep pain. Before he slept that night, Cazot was visited by an image of Atenaeus' pale young face, with its soft lips and sensual eyes. The marriage had been a mistake. He had only to look into her eyes to feel that, to sense her growing dislike of him. But the marriage could not be undone, and he was ready to make the best of it, and expected the same effort from her. These sad thoughts kept Cazot awake far into the night. The moon was shining, and its pale light reached into the room. It was still outside, with no sound except the distant notes of the accordion. Atenaeus did not return the next day, although her husband sent a message to do so through her brother, Monteclin. On the third day, Cazot prepared his horse and went himself in search of her. Atenaeus's parents, the Michets, lived in a large home owned by a trader who lived in town. The house was far too big for their use. Upstairs, the rooms were so large and empty that they were used for parties. A dance at the Michet home and a plate of Madame Michet's gumbo were pleasures not to be missed. Madame Michet was sitting on the porch outside the house. She stood up to greet Cazot. She was short and fat, with a cheery face, but she was clearly tense as Cazot arrived. Monteclin was there, too, but he was not uneasy. He made no effort to hide his dislike of Cazot. "Dirty pig," he said under his breath as Cazot climbed the stairs to the porch. Monteclin disliked Cazot for refusing to lend him money long ago. Now that this man was his sister's husband, he disliked him even more.
Miche and his oldest son were away. They both respected Cazot and talked highly of him. Cazot shook hands with Madame Miche, who offered him a chair. Athenaïs had shut herself in her room. "You know, nothing would do last night," Madame Miche said. "Athenaïs just had to stay for a little dance. The boys would not let their sister leave." Cazot shrugged his shoulders to show he knew nothing about last night. "Didn't Monteclin tell you we were going to keep Athenaïs?" she asked. But Monteclin had told him nothing. "And how about the night before?" asked Cazot. "And last night? Do you have dances every night?" Madame Miche laughed and told her son to go tell Athenaïs her husband had arrived. Monteclin did not move. "You know as well as I do that it is no use to tell Athenaïs anything," said Monteclin. "You and Pa have been talking to her since Monday. When Athenaïs said she was not returning to Cazot, she meant it." Two fiery red spots rose to Cazot's cheeks. What Monteclin said was true. Upon arriving home, Athenaïs had announced she was there to stay. It was difficult for her to understand why she had married. Girls were just expected to get married. And she did like Cazot. Monteclin had asked Athenaïs to explain herself. He had asked her if Cazot abused her or if he drank too much. "No," Athenaïs had said. "It is just being married that I hate. I do not like being Mrs. Cazot. I want to be Athenaïs Miche again. I do not like living with a man, all his clothing everywhere, and his ugly bare feet." At the time, Monteclin had been sorry his sister had no serious evidence to use against Cazot. And now there was Cazot himself looking like he wanted to hit Monteclin. Cazot stood up and went inside the house to his wife's room. "Athenaïs, get ready," he said quietly. "It is late and we do not have time to lose." Athenaïs was not prepared for his calm request. She felt a sense of hopelessness about continuing to rebel against the idea of marriage. She gathered her hat and gloves. Then she walked downstairs past her brother and mother, got on her horse, and rode away. Cazot followed behind her. It was late when they reached home. Cazot once more ate dinner alone. Athenaïs sat in her room crying. Athenaïs's parents had hoped that marriage would bring a sense of responsibility so deeply lacking in her character. No one could understand why she so hated her role as wife. Cazot had never spoken angrily to her, or called her names, or failed to give her everything she wanted. His main offense seemed to be that he loved her, and Athenaïs was not a woman to be loved against her will. At breakfast, Athenaïs complained to her husband. "Why did you have to marry me when there were so many other girls to choose from?" she asked. "And it is strange that if you hate my brother so much, why would you marry his sister?" I do not know what any of them have to do with it, Kazo said. I married you because I loved you. I guess I was fool to think I could make you happy. I do not know what else to do but make the best of a bad deal and shake hands over it. It now seemed to Atenaise that her brother was the only friend left to her in the world. Her parents had turned from her, and her friends laughed at her. But Monteclin had an idea for securing his sister's freedom. After some thought, Atenaise agreed to his plan. The next morning, Cazot woke up to find his wife was gone. She had packed her belongings and left in the night. Cazot felt a terrible sense of loss. It was not new. He had felt it for weeks. He realized he had missed his chance for happiness. He could not think of loving any other woman, and could not imagine Atenaise ever caring for him. He wrote her a letter stating that he did not want her back unless she returned of her own free will. Atenaise had escaped to the big city of New Orleans. She was staying at a private hotel that Monteclin had chosen and paid to rent for a month. A woman named Sylvie owned the hotel and took good care of Atenaise. Atenaise soon became friends with Mr. Gouvernail, who was also staying at the hotel. This friendship helped her feel less lonely about missing her family. But Mr. Gouvernail soon started to fall in love with Atenaise. He knew she was uninformed, unsatisfied, and strong-willed, but he also suspected that she loved her husband, although she did not know it. Bitter as this belief was, he accepted it. Atenaise's last week in the city was coming to an end. She had not found a job and was too homesick to stay any longer. Also, she had not been feeling well. She complained in detail about her sickness to Sylvie. Sylvie was very wise, and Atenaise was very stupid. Sylvie very calmly explained to Atenaise that she was feeling sick because she was pregnant. Atenaise sat very still for a long time thinking about this new information. Her whole being was overcome with a wave of happiness. Then she stood up, ready to take action. She had to tell her mother, and Cazot. As she thought of him, a whole new sense of life swept over her. She could not wait to return to him. The next day, Atenaise spent traveling home. When she arrived at Cazot's, he lifted her out of the horse carriage, and they held each other tight. The country night was warm and still, except for a baby crying in the distance. "Listen, Cazot," said Atenaise, "how Juliet's baby is crying. Poor darling, I wonder what is the matter with it."
That's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.